course, we wish that more could be with us today, but the idea is that we can do this and record it for thousands of people who will be listening by way of the internet system. Made arrangements with the Kosciuszko Church to come down last year and do this, and it was received real well, and this year, same way. And we rent this particular building for these couple of 3 hours of time and pay them extra for it. And we look forward to being able to use this, and we're thankful that they were agreeable to it. We're saddened by the circumstances of this particular year and the circumstances of Brother Al Frank's accident or whatever circumstance caused the deal with him to be fatal. And we want to pray about that. Brother Gary Freeman, you know, is here with us. Brother Gary, please lead us in a word of prayer for our program as well as for Brother Al Frank's family.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this day and the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for watching over all of us and guiding us. As you be with this workshop as and presentation and all that Robert Rawson has agreed to work with. Ask you to be with the efforts the world over. Be with all the ones that listen to this message by video or actually information from this. Ask you to be with the Franks family. Be with all of them. I should be with all the ones that we know that are hurting, but especially be with the Franks family at this time. Ask you to be with this country, Lord. Ask you to watch over us, guide us, help us all to do right. Help us to go forth with more fervor, be stronger. Ask you to help us to get out and reach the word. Ask you to be with our politicians, help them to help get this country back in the right direction. Ask you to again, to continue to bless us, be with all those that are sick, those that are traveling. Be with the missionaries the world over, Lord. Ask you to be with them, be with all of our ministers and all. Ask you to, again, bless this workshop. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. The study begins with our particular activity this year of the techniques of teaching. And these techniques are employed by every age department in the church. We have the center area of this thing, and we showed you on this particular matter the page that we have here for the beginning of the training school program this year. We're sending it to Anonymous 3. They have funded this particular school over the last 3 years of time in an enormous way, made it possible for us to have this particular schooling on the way. We go to the last. And you'll see in regard to the activities that we have in mind, and we have a good thing going. We've had a good reception in our report to the every area in which we deal with paper, with toner, with computers, with replacement of equipment that goes old and decays and dies on us, and things like that. And we furnish funds for the rental of places where we go to teach and work with people like this here at Magnolia Bible Center. But nevertheless, that's the kind of thing that we've done. Next year will be 50 years. Our particular stationery will become gold and blue during that time. And we are sitting out the 50 years anniversary. I hope I can make it. Our website, as I mentioned, in regard to this matter, Training School for Better Service 3, that's third generation of time, edu.com, is ranked 89 among 2,380 sites by these folks down in Florida. They're not members of the church, but they're good friends. They are wonderful webmasters, and they prosecute those who hack our site and hack other sites. And there are hackers that love to do this on religious sites, apparently so. And what they do is they like to set up a double type of click situation. When people click for the Training School for Better Service to come to that site, instead of getting to that site, they have an alternate. It may be a risque place in New York or in New Orleans or wherever have you, but they like to do that. They get their thrills in regard to that person going there first. And the person said, "I didn't click on that, darling. I didn't do that at all," to the wife that's looking on at the same time. And so they click again, and then they come right to the Training School for Better Service website. But that's the way that they do it. And I wanted them, and I discussed with them in order to do that. And they told me that if you discuss these things this way on your website, you'll never have any problem from us. And so more time, I got 12 better commendations from them. Our church folks down in Florida are really, really good. Paul and Mark direct that, and with 2,380, we pay each year, we pay in your hand, and if you look there in that regard, that page, these techniques. I mentioned about joining once again to host a teacher's seminar on techniques at the Cecil May Jr. Academic Building on the campus of the Now Magnolia Bible Institute, which is doing so well by offering courses of credit several nights a week. Approximately 25 students are a part of this thing now here in Mississippi. And the Training School for Better Service will host the use of this building on Wednesday, October 16th, which we are at 10 o'clock, until noon, and offer a free lunch at Wendy's beside Highway 12 in the bypass for anyone attending with us. Those techniques that are how to teach is the idea how we go about the process in a practical way of every age group. We call that STEAM in our school program. We taught people through the years to utilize this, and we mentioned about how that we start out with a song. If we have young people, the song, "This Little Christian Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine, never let the devil get out, you know, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine, all around the neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine," and sing that song with them at the beginning of class, and it kind of sets it up, and it does a good job with young people, of course, with us as adults in adult classes, middle age as well as on up to the higher adult, more appropriate songs of hymns to be done, like today, "Never Grow Old, Never Grow Old, There's a Land Where We'll Never Grow Old." And of course, the memories that we have, Brother Allen, how he loved those songs as well as loved the things being done. He loved us, and he was to be here to open the building this morning for me. And I called Brother Ray last night and said, "Can you come and open the building?" And he said, "Yes, I can." And he did. And of course, the heat was on, everything was in good shape here to be able to do this. We brought our own equipment and everything to do this, and here's the thing. You sing a song in order to apply it to the particular age group that you have. Then you tell them the basic lesson ideas. The basic lesson ideas are techniques that we use in order to train the people that are in our classes. According to the age group that we have, we apply it with visual aids. The visual aids this day I chose in this way were the sheets that I've handed to you already. And those sheets will be something for you to keep and use and refer to and hopefully remember some point that's been made out of that. The old teachers used to teach this particular way. They said, you tell them what you're fixing to tell them. You tell them what you're going to. And then you, once again, tell them what you told them. And now then you will complete your class. If you tell them what's coming up, if you tell them what you tell them, and then tell them what you told them, they have set it in people's minds well, and so that's what we'll be doing today, and that's what the idea is. And then the interrogatives are plenty. We use questions a lot with students, because in those questions it disarms somebody being hurt and harmed and called upon in class to tell this, that, and the other. The idea is, here's a question that we have. What should we do when we have a beginning of a class? If we have a children's class, what kind of song should we sing? And then, of course, they answer, yes, we should sing a children's song. Sing a song that's interesting to them and everything. And "This Little Christian Light of Mine" can be a song that's interesting to them. And they will be on target with the G in this. And that is, when they leave that class, they'll go out and tell a friend, "I really enjoyed my class today. I had a good time with that class and everything. And would you come and be with me another time, you know, in this particular class? I bet you will enjoy it too." Well, that's the idea of doing that. Then the interrogative, the question that you ask, were things that will set it out to discuss with others later than the class time. These questions will help them to know what they've been taught and understand it a whole lot better. When you use questions, interrogatives, questions that are applied to the study that's underway. And then, narrations. Narratives using the illustrations in the Bible. Our Lord Jesus, when he came to this earth, sought to teach people. And in Matthew chapter 5, what did he do? He went up into a mountain. When he was set, the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are. Well, that's the message that Jesus brought to them, and he illustrated by way of the remainder of Matthew chapters 5 and 6, saying in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that will say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. The idea is to be a doer of what I'm saying to you, teaching you, be a practitioner of it as you go through in life. And so those examples that we find in the Bible, Brother Sparks used to tell me, when you use examples from the Bible, you know you're always doing what's right. You see God's approval of it or God's disapproval of it. Naaman back yonder and long ago was disapproved by God and his conduct and ways of life. And you'll find that in the Kings, but you'll also find how that he could do the right thing. And on the day of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe, you may. And that's where it went on the way. And we have found by way of this man or others down in Egypt, dry climate, everything, more and more of those old manuscripts preserved because the humidity didn't get to them and mess them up. And it was a wonderful, wonderful place. And he went home with somebody he taught, said, let's collect this, let's put it together. And they did. And then the final part of this is go out with a message. Going out with a message of the lesson that's taught by telling others the benefit the student derived from that lesson. By telling others. Now remind them, don't be a nuisance to people. Don't go out and tell them every class time that you had a wonderful time and a great time. They'll laugh at you and scoff at you about that. But ever so often, go out and tell them how wonderful the class study was and it's something unveiled to you that you didn't think about before time. And I really enjoyed that. I'd like to invite you to come be with me in class. You'll never be embarrassed. They won't ask you a direct question to answer. They'll ask questions of the class. And everybody can grow in their class. And that's the way. We esteem people in that class, whatever age group they are. And as a result of that, they will know. Class teaching, to do its best, must be within the age group's vocabulary of words, as well as applied ideas as to how to live from day to day. When for the time you ought to be teachers, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, and was true even in the inspired time of the New Testament for brethren to be urged to become teachers of God's Word. And so it is that that teacher, not a formal person to speak, as maybe I am doing today and as others will do for us in days to come, but the idea would be a teacher of others, be a friend to others, help them to realize I enjoy the class, come and be with me, is a good thing to do. One of the finest Bible teachers that we have, and if you look on the page, three pages that I handed you there, one of the finest Bible teachers of this generation is Hugh Fulford, Tennessee. He lives up in the area, Chattanooga area, Tennessee. And he is a very good friend to us. And he supplies us one of the best written material that you ever read. And it'll help you with your verbs and your subject arrangement so much better. And what he had done, he said, I hope you don't mind. I said, no, I don't mind. This is for anybody in the world, if they're wherever they are in the world. But anyway, that was the idea of it. Now, I mentioned that on page 3, we give an illustration of that, and so on the third page, let me see what I've got here in regard to this. Let's see, Richard Cross and things like that. Congregation, I may not have had it concluded here in this particular thing. But anyway, the idea is on those three pages right there. You have Brother Hugh Fulford's site. It's the title of that particular lesson of study. It's a lesson of study for those that are a little bit older than just the children. They are becoming teenagers and the decision to obey the gospel. And in those particular paragraphs of those three pages, he illustrates how important it is first to obey the gospel, citing them passages of scripture that says something in regard to obeying the gospel. He talks out with Simon Peter's comment regarding if the judgment of the Lord began first at the house of God, what shall the end be of those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ? So the question is asked there, and that's an important question to be answered by people. And then, of course, we've got the statement made in the Thessalonian writing by Paul in regard to the Lord coming, and how that he will not come until finally that day comes. And when he will come, he will raise the question to them, why did you not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that gospel of Jesus Christ was so important to be obeyed. And he'll take vengeance on them who know not God, and those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. God will take vengeance upon you if you do not obey that gospel. And so in the process of following paragraphs in that particular note, what we have there is we have descriptions of what it means to obey the gospel. And he'll go through the place of faith and the place of repentance, the place of confession, the place of baptism, the place of faithfully living for the Lord in the process of these particular pages. And he closes out with a unique thing about this way that we talked about earlier in regard to it. He closes out by saying, what happens when one obeys the gospel? And the idea is one is saved from sin, one receives remission of sins, and sins are washed away. This is the writing of Brother Hugh Fulford. And I mentioned to them that he's a friend, a really good friend to us in the school program, and he supplied us with that kind of detailed information. Would there be at this point in time a question that you might have in regard to what we are now discussing? Maybe I ask a couple of questions that helps us to remember what we've talked about. The study that Brother Hugh Fulford furnished for us in the ways of this, and that we supplied to you, obeying the gospel, how important it is to obey the gospel. What did Simon Peter say about obeying the gospel? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What did Paul write about obeying the gospel to the Thessalonians? He'll take vengeance on them who obey not the gospel, as well as those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. It's important to obey the gospel in the form of what he said. Hear that gospel. Believe that gospel. Repent of your sin. Turn away from sin. Confess your faith in Christ and be immersed, to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. And find that new way of life, that new walk of life that is wonderful and bright and good. And God will be with you and help you in this regard. That's what we'll note to say. And so in our first particular part of the class this morning, we're looking at the things that we have to do in class. And if we sing those songs to the young people, we'll sing them and we'll have an interesting thing that we set up for them in good ways, like that. And if we do not do that, we'll kind of hurt ourselves in regard to this particular thing, because we don't do it very well to sing a song with them and get them going on that matter. This is the idea of what we're trying to do in this school program, and the idea of it for the adults as well. And what we're going to do now is just switch our page in regard to this matter and talk about the fact that we have classes in which we have different age groups. What do we want to do? Well, we want to do, a type of thing that we call visual aid. And in a visual aid, it can be involved with us having a song to sing. We can be involved with other things about the visual aid, about the examples in the Bible. And when we turn to pages in the Bible and see those examples, we can vividly recognize that either God was approving something or God was disapproving something. How did this man in Acts chapter 8, as he was joined in the chariot, what did he say to him that brought him to ask such a question? It says there that he began the same scripture preached unto him, Jesus. What in that message involved his question when he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And when the man said to him, do you believe? And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What brought about the question that brought about that response? Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What about the message of Christ that brought that question to his mind? And being told, if you believe, you may. What brought that question to mind?
A lot of teaching.
In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read that without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. So that faith had to be there for him to do something about it. Whatever that man told him to do, he understood was important enough that when they rode along and they came to a certain oasis of water, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? I want to do what they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. I want to do what Cornelius did in Acts 10 later on. Right now, I want to do this. What hinders me from doing this? And when that question is asked, it's obvious that there's an answer given in like kind. That answer given to him was something that he could do to be pleasing to the Lord, that he could have that relationship with the Lord that he didn't have without doing that. And so they stopped the chariot, went down into the water, and he baptized him. Someone asked Brother Hull about years ago, who baptized whom when they got down in that water? And Brother Hull gave, I thought, the best reply of that matter. He said the one who wanted to be baptized was the one who got baptized.
Plain and simple.
By the other. The one who wanted to be was the one who raised the question, what hinders me from being baptized? How can you baptize me if you believe? You may be baptized. So it is important for that matter to be done. Now, when we illustrate that in a class of study, and we illustrate it by way of stepping up perhaps to a baptistry pool and showing that the water needs to be deep enough to immerse someone, because that word baptized means to immerse. It's the idea of having someone fully submitted. And the idea of it is that once you rise from that, Paul writes in Romans 6, we rise to walk in newness of life. And as a result of walking in that newness of life, we find ourselves actually faithfully following the ways of the Lord, telling others the old story of Jesus and his love. As we walk, we do ourselves an injustice from time with temptations that we face. As a result of those temptations that we face, we find ourselves just in misery. What can we now do? Go back and be rebaptized over and over again? No. The scripture tells us more about that time of baptism. Like there in Romans 6, it puts us into a relationship. On Romans 6, going down to verses 16 through 18, he says, but God be thanked. You were the servants of sin. That's in the past. Now then, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, free from the slavery of sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, very likely you didn't face that high temptation to go into sin and wrongdoing once again in life on the day that you were baptized. You're thinking about the Lord, you're thinking about heaven, you're thinking about being servant of God in this matter, and how appreciative you are that he has accepted you into his family. And you can walk this newness of life. But along the way, there may be trials and temptations that get us over into that area of temptation to which we yield. John writes about that matter in 1 John 1 and verse 9. He says in verses 2 through 5 that we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. The people being written there are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, as they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, what they find is this. They find a new relationship that he tells them about in verse 9. if we confess our sins, not go back and be rebaptized 100 times during your lifetime in order to please the relationship with God. The relationship with God is established already. Now then, as you sin, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did Paul write in Romans 6? That we were become the servants of righteousness? He said, you're away from the heart, that form of doctrine, being then made free from sin, you became the servants or enslaved to righteousness. Now, as you were enslaved to righteousness, what happened to you was that you were in a relationship with God. Now, as you sin, words and mannerisms, thoughts and ideals, practice of religious and non-religious conduct in our lives. Maybe it is we realize the lack of faith when we made a donation of some kind to somebody along the way for the Lord's sake and His work. We don't realize how sinful that is, because without faith it's impossible to please God. We need to be people who have faith when we make that donation, make that contribution. And as a result of that, we do what we can do to be pleasing to God, and he will forgive us and cleanse us and put us back in the way of righteousness. And wonderful is that relationship with God, to have that privilege. And so that's how we can live for the Lord from day to day. Now, this will be more meaningful to those that are teenage years obeying the gospel, and to the middle age people and young adults, the middle age and adult people, because they're thinking about those sort of relationship, about being in that relationship with the Lord. More so than you'd be emphasizing to little children and to those who are in elementary school and those who are just not quite old enough to think. And sometimes I tell people the following. They say, my child wants to be baptized. What should I say to them? I don't want to discourage it. There are people who have been discouraged from being baptized that did not for years and years thereafter choose to be baptized. I don't want to do that to my child. I don't want that to happen. And I want to mention the following thing that I've mentioned to you. It might be beneficial to you. I asked the question to children. What do you think when you're fixing to do something very wrong? When you're fixing to take something that's not yours? When you're fixing to say words that are not right? What do you do? Do you think first, I don't want my mama, my daddy, my grandma, my grandpa to hear this? Oh, if they heard this, I would be in trouble, oh, trouble, trouble. Is that the first thing that comes to mind? Or is the first thing that comes to mind, I'll be disappointing to God. I will be against what Jesus did for me. I, spiritually speaking, am fixing to rob myself of the benefits of being with the Lord. And when that question comes to mind, you need to run to be baptized in Christ. You don't need to hesitate. You don't need to wait. You need to obey the Lord at that time. But for certain, if we're thinking about just the way that I relate to earthly people and my family, that's not good enough yet. That's not good enough to be spiritually minded, spiritual thought, ways that we can do. On the day of Pentecost, when they heard this, they were heart pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart, Acts 2:37. What do we find here? We find that your adult people are thinking about what he's told them. You have by wicked hands taken and crucified the Lord of glory. You've taken him and done this to him. What do you mean to do this? What shall we do? Repent ye, turn away from this way of life. Turn away from the hope that you have in this. Turn away from the joy that you had in putting him to death. Turn away from this. Be baptized. Be immersed for the remission of your sins. And you also will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you and your children, to many afar off, that's us, as many as the Lord our God shall come. The privilege has been mine to be a part of teaching this way and teaching this methodology for all age groups for a number of years, and there are others that do it as well. And I want to put it on record down here and give the invitation. Now, what did we do? Well, we wrote to, I'm sure, more than two dozen congregations all throughout this area. We used our funds and bought the stamps for it, and we sent the pages out, and we mailed it. And we mailed it to congregations all around this area. Kosciuszko got a letter from us. So did your aunt get a letter from us. And all down the line, we made up. Winona got the letter. All the way from Winona and the town of Starkville, all the way across to Greenville, and down to College, Mississippi, this whole section, area, were invited to come in today, if they could, and be a part of this. Otherwise, to come to our website and hear the presentation that's been done. And I trust that there will be people who will yet do that and enjoy that to the fullest. And we're thankful for you coming today. Any questions that you have in mind, please.